And as usual, we are awaiting any kind of a home improvement question you may have, either by phone or by text. Same number for either, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. Andy Lindis, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well on this, I've said it earlier a couple of times this morning, on this final full day of summer. Fall is ushered in, as they say, tomorrow morning. Yeah, but the forecast, tell you, still looks like summer to me, and probably getting a lot of work done. The crews at Lindis and the customers will be happy. The crews and customers alike. What have I know you're a busy guy these days. What have you been up to these days?
Oh, you name it. We've been trying to accomplish it, Denny. You know, our guys are and gals are as good as it comes, and pretty lucky to get to work with them every day. And we're very blessed with the weather that we've had the last couple of weeks compared to the beginning of the year. You know, we've had, I think the last time I looked, it was 5 or 6 times the amount of rain delays this year than we had last year. And luckily, that all came early in the year. We got pretty behind. So the last 2 months, we've been able to catch up. And my people are so good. The last 2 weeks, I've been away from the office. So, just celebrated my 25-year wedding anniversary. I can't believe she stuck with me that long. So we did a little trip out through Utah, Wyoming, and Montana. And a couple days ago, we got to my youngest daughter goes to college in Helena. We picked her up, and now we're sitting at the edge of Glacier National Park, and my daughter and my wife and I are going to go and do a little hiking, and we're going to bring her back to school and then head home.
Well, outstanding. Congratulations for you and your bride. You're going to be heading up to the Going to the Sun highway there?
I am. I'm pretty excited about that. We're going to do that, and I got a couple of new cast iron pans, Smithy cast iron pans my wife got me, and I'm going to teach my daughter how to cook some steaks outside today.
Oh, does that sound great? How's the weather?
You know, not bad. It's 34 degrees here this morning. It's going to get up to like 60. And in my world, that's like the perfect temperature. If we can go from 35 to 65 every day, yeah. You know, you start off with a hoodie and a hat, and by midday, you got a little bit of a sweat going on. And I'm telling you, when it comes to home improvements, that 50 to 70 degree range is perfect. Like, it's great to work outside. It's not too hot, not too cold. All of your tools do what they're supposed to do. All the glues and paints work perfectly. It's just the perfect time. Unfortunately, we get like 5 of those days a year, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great time of year, though. We're having some great weather right now, although we're having some shower activity here in the Twin Cities, but that should clear up. And that's about it for the week, by the way. I don't see in the forecast, just looking ahead for you and your crews, I don't see any precipitation all the way through Friday. So that should help.
Yeah, and it looks like most of the severe weather that came through a couple of days ago wasn't as severe as some of the predictions were. I mean, there was some wind, but the hail, for the most part, was pretty minimal, which is, we just need another one of those years where there is no hail damage. And I know a couple of insurance companies have reached out, and sounds like they may or not come on the show to talk about the state of affairs of wind and hail claims and what the policies are doing. I want to make it clear, too, Denny, when you and I were talking a couple of months ago, I didn't want to put all the onus on the insurance companies. If I came out that way, I apologize, but I think it's all of us, meaning every contractor needs to do a better job of trying to source Class 4 shingles, hail-resistant shingles, and manufacturers as a whole need to do a better job of making them, because I know a couple of contractors that are trying to get them, and they've had to go to manufacturers that I don't use because the manufacturer I use doesn't have enough of them. So that's a problem. It's as big of a problem as what's going on with the insurance industry. And insurance industry is not going to write policies if they cannot make money. I mean, they have to make a profit to stay in business. And when these claims are happening and people are getting their third roof in 10 years, that's a problem. Not just an insurance problem. It's an industry-wide problem. And I just when you dig into it, greed is a problem across all three of those sectors. It's a problem with the contractor, it's a problem with the manufacturers, and it's a problem with the insurance agency. And homeowners, what we need to do as consumers is ask those questions. What kind of shingles are available? At least get an estimate on a class 4 shingle. For me, it's a $250 decision on most roofs. And that isn't a big enough price tag to say no for me, knowing that, again, a couple, 2-3 billion tons of asphalt shingles going to landfills every year. It's not something I want to be a part of, and that's why 95% of the roofing, outside of us having to match other shingles, will be hail-resistant shingles. I'll walk away from a job before I use a shingle that isn't going to be class 4.
Yeah, and part of the show, thanks to you and Linda's Construction, is an education. Had it not been for the show and you, I would have never heard of Class 4. I don't even know what a Class 4 shingle was until you explained it. And I think a lot of our listeners who commented on that felt the same way. But I'll tell you what, let's do this. And maybe we could get some insurance folks to explain what is covered, what isn't covered, just a definition, a clear the air there. We'll talk about that down the road. But in the meantime, I know we have to take a break, and we'll come back. We'll pick up on some text messages. If you have any more via phone, if you have a home improvement question, do it by phone or text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. Some thunderstorms, light rain in some parts of the Twin Cities and other parts of CCLN as well. Those should get through here, and we should see sunshine later on the rest of the day. Highs near 81 today. Right now, 68 degrees on CCO. Stay with us. And good morning. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show here every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour. Thanks to Linda's Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. You want to get in touch with those folks if you have a project in mind. 844-9-LINDIS. Easy number to remember, 844-9-LINDIS. Or get on the web, lindisconstruction.com. Andy Lindis, on a little vacation, we appreciate you taking the time on your anniversary to impart some great information here on the show. Let's see. I'm looking at a text came in a bit ago about I'll just read it. I covered my cabin floor with OSB boards. First of all, Andy, what is an OSB board? Definition.
So there's two types of sheeting that people use. Plywood is what I would say like a veneer that's glued together. OSB is like what some people call chipboard or, you know, plywood is going to be your sheets of thin wood glued together. OSB is going to be where they take a whole bunch of chips of wood, they mix it in with a resin and glue, and then they compress it into a 4x8 sheet. And that's what a lot of people use. Oh. And now it's sort of for subfloor, and then there's more of a particle board that you'll see at times. But we use a half inch on roofing, and depending on what's available and depending on where we're going to be putting it in the house, but I don't know if I see a lot of that kind of wood used as a floor. Or did he say a base of his cabinets?
Well, let me just finish and get to the question. It says, I covered my cabin floor with OSB boards and am putting waterproof laminate flooring down. Their question is, do I need to put a 6 mil vapor barrier down before the flooring or not?
No. I don't. Not on the flooring. The vapor barrier is going to be in the ceiling or the wall, but not the floor.
Okay. All right. Save some work. Thanks for that. Again, 651-461-9226. All right, you're going to have to visualize this one. A texter says, I have concrete block in my garage, one course on a slab on grade. There's one section that the block is deteriorating, both inside and outside faces. A few areas are cracked through, but the webbing seems intact. Any ideas to repair, coat it, or try and replace it? If replacing it, how do I do that with the existing walls?
I know safebasements.com has some techniques that they do with blocks and foundation walls. You may be able to coat it, but you're going to want to find out why that one area is deteriorating over the other ones. More than likely, it's because water is getting inside that area, and it doesn't need to be a lot of water. Just Concrete's a porous product, so if it starts to get wet and it freezes, that's when it starts to crack and deteriorate. And once it cracks, more water gets in, and then it gets worse and worse and worse. So good on you taking a look at it and then knowing that something is different about this block compared to the other ones. It's time to inspect. And if it makes you feel better, I would just give safebasements.com a call. Have them come out. They're the foundation experts, and they'll be able to tell you what they can and cannot do and what you should and shouldn't worry about. Why I recommend Safe Basements more often than not is because I have numerous customers where Safe Basements has gone out there and be like, you know, you could fix this, and this is what it costs, but you don't need to. And that's why that's important to me. You know, not every person we meet with is going to need a job. And it's as important to me that we tell people that the need to worry about, and not be Chicken Little all the time. So a lot of times foundations are, it's okay to let them go a little bit. I don't know, without seeing this, I can't tell you that for sure. But I'm telling you, when if you're worried, safebasements.com, give them a call. And, you know, ask the questions. As always, do your own due diligence. Don't take my word for it. But I've had really good luck with people that meet with them.
Yeah. And you've, over the years, recommended Safe Basements to me. And we've used them in our house a number of times, whether it be radon or, you know, encapsulating crawl space, things like that. So they do a great job. And they're local. And I think you've told me, too, that Safe Basements is kind of not just known around these parts, but all over the country for their work.
Yeah. You know, we have an office in Ohio, and I was at a home show there, and I was seeing it wasn't called Safe Basements, but it was the same technology that Jesse Treble and his group used up in Minnesota, their wall anchoring system. And I started looking at it and sent Jesse a picture. He goes, yeah, I make that for them. So he's gone around the country and helped educate them. So we have one of the better manufacturers of wall anchors right here in Minnesota. That's Jesse Treble and his group, safebasements.com.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. A listener says, my wife and I are first-time homeowners. Oh, this is a good question because we haven't talked about this for a while. They need some updating, but they don't know how to start looking for a contractor. They think it's quite a daunting task. And I think it is kind of scary, kind of stressful. Can you kind of take us through the numbers of what these folks should do?
Yeah, anytime you're looking for a contractor, friends and family are a great way to start, but it's not the be-all, end-all. A lot of things have changes over the years. So if somebody's used a contractor recently, I'd take that. Somebody that used them 5-10 years ago, again, still do your due diligence and research them. So when you start meeting with contractors, try to find jobs in your neighborhood that you can either go look at or you can make a phone call and talk to those customers. When we come out, we can give you a list of people that we've done recently, people that we did 10 years ago, people that we did 20 years ago. And if you want to find somebody that even has had some service work, we like to think we're perfect, but we're not. We try every day to get close to perfect, and we're getting better every day. And I can tell you this, the Leaf Guard Department and Lynn's Construction, we still only have one service guy. So we don't have a ton of service, but we want to find something that didn't go as planned. We'll let you talk with that customer too. I think that's important, especially when you're talking about giant remodeling projects. You know, the things you want to ask, you know, did they show up on time? Did they clean up for themselves? And if you had to choose it all over again, would you choose that contractor? When you can ask somebody those questions, you're going to be comfortable. And don't be afraid to piecemeal it. You know, you buy a new home, you think you need all of these updates. Let's start to think about the value of the home and what you're doing to the value of the home. Now, if you're going to be there more than 5 to 7 years, then that gives you an opening to do some pretty good things with home values. It seems that 5 to 7 year mark, usually most home improvements pay for themselves. Now, there's things that aren't as awesome or aren't going to increase the value that you're going to need to talk about. But again, this is your home, and if it's going to be for your forever home, you can make those choices along the way there. It is a daunting task. There's a lot of really good Minnesota, but I'm telling you, Denny, the longer I do this, the more shady work I see, and the, you know, our government officials have done a lot to make the barrier to entry into our world harder. I can tell you this, some of the laws that have been put in place the last 3 years would have really put a damper on Linus construction growing in the 80s and 90s, the way we worked. Long story short, you know, we started out as the subcontractors to builders. We did all the siding and windows. That was a lot of our work. And there's some subcontractor laws that have changed recently. It doesn't really affect me, but it affects really small construction companies and some of the other regulations that we have to deal with as well. Again, bigger organizations like us, not a problem. But I've been working with a lot of smaller contractors trying to help them through those types of things. And it's kind of scary. So when you look at all of those regulations, and then you start to factor in that most contractors go out of business in like 2 to 3 years, you have to really start to do your own due diligence and not just research online, pick up the phone and call customers. I'm telling you, online reviews can be as fluffed as anything in the world. I choose not to fluff them. I don't pay people to give reviews. I don't reward people for reviews. It's not something I want to do because I want my reviews to be as honest as they possibly can because I use them as a chance to get better. Now, more often than not, we're using our reviews that come through to champion our people and post them around the office. And once a month we meet and I go through and read all of the positive reviews.
Nope. Andy, we lost Andy. Tell you what, let's do. We'll get him back on the horn. We lost you there, Andy. I tell you what, let's do. Let's recharge here. Look at our CCO forecast, and we'll come back. We'll reconnect and have about another half hour of the show to go. So if you have a home improvement question, by all means, call us or text us 651-461-9226. Andy Lindis on the go in Montana right now this morning. We'll be back with Andy in a moment here after the forecast on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show here every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour. Thanks to Lindis Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. You want to give them a call, 844-9-LINDIS. Andy Lindis on his little vacation, his anniversary trip, and he's out in Montana right now. I think you're around Glacier, right, Andy?
Yeah, we are just outside of West Glacier and going to hit the Sun Road today. And nice little end of the trip here. It's parents' weekend at my daughter's college. So we anniversary tripped all the way over to Helena, Montana, picked her up, and now we're at Glacier and going to hang out. My wife is getting sick of me pointing out different roofing. You know, when you see some of these old cabins that yes. are, you know, 80 years old and these old T-lock shingles that are still holding on, they're like, you know, again, it just, we choose not to build things better than we used to. We made some of these cabins last as long as they have, and some of this roofing out here that has seen more weather than most roofing and is still holding up today. And again, like we were talking about earlier, you know, that's my biggest pet peeve when people say we don't build things like we used to. That's a choice. Like we have the technology today to build things way better than we used to. Everything that we put on a house should last forever. And that should be questions that people ask. The warranties are different. There's a lot of things you can do when you're buying home improvements to protect yourself. And with a little bit of more money and a little bit more research, we can buy materials that last forever. And that's one of the things that we've been working on the last 3 weeks is the Lindis Construction Maintenance Plan. And we will be offering this service to our customers starting next year, where we offer a annual inspection, and it's going to be a custom maintenance plan to your home, like what you should be looking at and doing on this house and things to keep an eye on and materials you may want to use or cleaning products you want to use, or things that you need to do to maintain this home to make sure it lasts as long as it was intended to, all of the materials. So we're pretty excited about that. It's going to be a very inexpensive thing that we offer our customers, including an annual inspection by one of our experts. But this is, again, in an effort to educate the consumer and to make sure that, people aren't having to spend money that they don't have to. The most expensive home improvement project you ever have to do is the one you have to pay for twice. And with a little bit of research up front and a little bit of know-how on maintaining your home, I think we can make these materials last. You know, when we go into home, we say, hey, this is the warranty on this is 50 years. I want to make sure that you're getting all 50 years that you can out of whatever material that we're selling, whether it's windows, doors, roofing, siding, interior remodeling, decking. We choose those materials wisely. And one thing you have to understand is we test this stuff ourselves. This is, we have multiple windows in my home, my brother's home, my parents' home, people at work. We test things, different types of roofing, different types of, you name it. We have, Our poor families have to deal with a lot of different home improvement projects and materials that sometimes just aren't that great. Like, I have a deck right now that I would never sell a customer because it's so slippery. But I wouldn't have known that had I not installed it on my own home.
That's right. Yeah. I think that's what you're saying. That project that will be in place sometime next year, that's very good, very proactive, not only on your part, but on homeowners as well. I think it's a great idea. And we'll talk more about that in future shows. Here's a text, Andy, kind of insurance-related, what we've talked about in recent shows. I'll just read it. My mom had a claim for a roof for hail damage. The contractor or the insurance said that she needed more... They jumped around. Hang on. They were coming in here. The mom needed more joists in her roof to comply with code. My sister gave up, and it's the claims like 5 years old at this point. Is there any way to get any solution to this, do you think?
Possibly. I'm not sure. I would have to look at it. It sounds like more likely a contractor and the customer were in fight with the insurance company as what needed to get done and never got to a solution. Now, joists or what roof trusses, it's pretty rare that those are, unless something was rotten or was a do-it-yourself project. And you know, I've seen some additions where you could tell this addition was put on without code because there's no way an inspector would have passed it, and we've had to reframe and redo some of those things. But I'm telling you, if there's a way, Linus can figure it out. And a five-year-old claim with an insurance company, depending on where the insurance company left it and what they told your mother-in-law in the last letter, is going to give me the pathway on what we need to do. But chances are, if it's 5 years old and hasn't been settled, it may not be able to be settled. I'm not sure. I need a little bit more details. That's unfortunate. We run into this all the time. Some of these insurance companies have a 1-year time limit where you have to have the work done, or a 2-year time limit. And unfortunately, a lot of these contractors make a lot of promises. We need to do this. We need to do that. But then they move and they take care of all the easy ones. What I've noticed a lot of times on these hail claims, Denny, everyone can do roofing. But the trim, the soft metals, the windows, the siding, most people can't do that. So they call us in a panic because the roof is done, but the rest of it's not done, and they're going to lose out on their depreciated value. What people need to know is if the insurance company gave you a check and they're holding back a portion of that typically until you have the work done. And if you don't have the work done in their timeline, you lose that claim money, meaning that's, let's just go with a $20,000 claim. The insurance company may be keeping $6,000 of that, and you're not going to get that $6,000 until you complete the work. And what's going to happen when you don't complete the work, you're going to get a letter from the insurance company saying that because you didn't complete that work, they're no longer going to cover you for hail or wind on that portion of your products of your house. So it's a scary thing, and I hope that's not the case with the mother-in-law, that because there was a claim, the next time there's hail, that you won't be covered. It's something you're going to want to look into with your insurance carrier and our people will gladly help you along the way if you get a hold of us and give you the best advice we can.
All right. Great. Listener wanted to know the number of Lindis's number. It's 844-9-LINDIS. I'm going to have to figure out what it is numerically. Maybe you know that, Andy. 844-9-LINDUS. They wanted the numerals. We'll figure that out in a moment or two. We'll get our research team on that before we take a break. Andy, this texter says, are there any issues putting a hardwood floor over a concrete slab that is heated via water?
No. Done it on numerous occasions.
Okay.
So yep. I'm going. It doesn't warm up as well as some of the other materials, but it will warm, meaning, you know, carpet and wood just don't retain the heat as much as some of the tile options, but it was still an in-floor heat. With hardwood floors, it'll still make a very comfortable area. It just won't be as warm on your feet as, say, like a tile floor would be. But I can tell you this, if you have pets, they will still find the warm spot on the hardwood floor somewhere. That's where your pets will lie down. My parents' place have hickory flooring, and it's all in-floor heat, and it's perfect.
All right. We're going to get back to more text messages here, and if you want to call in your home improvement question, 651-461-9226. Andy, we'll take this quick break. Be right back on the other side with more home improvement talk on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show. Andy Lindis fielding those questions. He's on vacation now, celebrating his anniversary. He happens to be in Montana, West Glacier. Andy, we'll get back to the more text messages, but a texter says, Denny, please pass to Andy that 7 miles down the road from where you are on US 2 from Road to the Sun, it's called Glacier Ridge Runners, Minnesota-owned UTV rental business. He says, take the wife and daughter for a half-day ride. See Steve. Always listen to your show. So you've got something
hey,
to do
all
there.
Right. I like it.
All right.
I
if
like
you missed
it.
All the, yeah, well, just be careful. All right.
Well, you know, Denny, I am in a Lindis construction truck, and I have ran into a few people from Wisconsin and Minnesota that I've so I always like to have my own truck. I seem to run into customers no matter where I go in the world.
Absolutely. Well, this you'll have to let us know if you check this out. A couple of questions, Andy. Maybe we can combine them about insulating attics. Excuse me. One is about how many inches of fiberglass rolls, which is better, to a total of R value. Somebody, texter is talking about their contractor said vacuum out all the existing insulation and spray foam it and then put in fiberglass. I know what you're going to say, but what is the best formula? If you had the bucks, what would you do?
I'd vacuum out the entire attic. I'd put down 2 inches of spray foam, and then I would put cellulose over the top of it. The reason why I choose cellulose over fiberglass is more from a rodent deterrent than fiberglass. It seems like when we're in attics, the fiberglass doesn't seem to bother any type of rodents or animals at all, where the cellulose, that fire retardant that gets put on cellulose is a natural deterrent to them. And I like the way cellulose settles. It seems like as it settles, it gets a little bit of a crust on it. And for me, it's as important to stop the air moving in the attic as anything. Now, again, if you're going to spray foam it, that's already going to accomplish that a lot. If we get into an attic in the wintertime, and we start taking pictures with our infrared imaging, you're going to see all of the hot spots. That's everywhere that your house is leaking air into the attic. Our goal is to stop all of that leaking. Spray foam is a great tool for that. And then we're going to adjust all of your venting and make sure you have the proper amount of intake and the proper amount of roof vents so the airflow is happening. That leads to a longer life on your roof, less ice dams, no more moisture in the attics. You know, when you have that amount of hot air getting into an attic, what I've seen is the entire roof deck frosts over. And what happens when that warms up, it's like it's raining in your attic. Now think what your insulation does. Every time a raindrop hits it, it compresses it, and it never really dries out. So now you're opening yourself up to mold issues. And if air can leak into your attic, it can also leak out of your attic. So meaning it can act like a giant filter for the air that's coming into your home. And if that filter is containing a bunch of rodent droppings or mold, that's the air you're breathing in your home. That's why I think attic air sealing is the most important thing to try to accomplish when you're going into an attic space, meaning you're going to seal off anywhere that air can leak into the attic or back into the house, trying to make it its own separate part of the home. That air doesn't come into contact with the air that you're breathing, if possible.
All right. I'm looking at a text, Andy, that came in a bit ago, and I'm not sure if you heard about this or not. I have not. A texter says this. This is a Thompson home. There are thousands of Thompson homes in Bloomington. Are they telling us that they're all in danger of collapsed roofs? What's that about? Have you heard anything like about that?
No.
Nor have I.
I'm not sure unless somebody sent something out as a mail. I have no idea. I've not heard that. I don't know. Haven't heard about a collapsed roof or a design that is leading to collapsed roofs. I'm interested to see that. I know our codes in Minnesota are pretty strict on snow load, so I don't know how they would get away from it unless it was something that was done years ago. You know, we are talking about Bloomington, so it could be older construction, you know, sure. 90s, 80s construction. I'm not sure. I'd have to research that.
All right. Just a thought. Looking at one just came in, a thank you to Andy Lindis' staff who came out to help us find windows for our condominium built in 1980. Very professional and informative salesperson and very precise, the person that did the measurement. Yeah, that's good because you guys are pretty precise when it comes to windows.
Well, we have to be because if we're not, it means we are stuck with windows that, remember, every window that we order for a customer is custom for that opening. So if we're not precise in our measuring, it means that I'm going to end up with a warehouse full of windows we can't use anywhere, or we'll build a building to make them fit that exact spot. So it's something that we try to always be accurate on. This is why we only have, after you meet with our estimator and go through the type of windows, we have a special person, Sam, who's going to come out and measure those windows to order to make sure that they are the perfect size for whatever opening we're trying to put them in.
Andy, we get this question quite often as far as the service area. How far will Linda's travel to get work done? This person is looking at the roofing and siding, but they live in Hutchinson. What do you recommend in that situation?
Hutch is a little bit far for us. Luck and Companies out of St. Joe or St. Cloud would be who I would recommend. They're as good of siders and roofers as there are in the country. The Luckin family and my family go way back. My dad and John Luckin were our best friends. And so I've known Sean. He's another second-generation fella. He's been at the helm for, I think he's been running the day-to-day for about a decade, and as the new owner in the last 3 years, and they've done nothing but good work. I've recommended them, I don't know, 200-300 times, and never once have I gotten a complaint from anyone I've recommended them to. I just know they're as close to Linda's Construction as it gets in the West area. So if you're looking for siding, windows, or roofing, or decking, Luck & Companies out of St. Joe is as good as it gets.
Outstanding. Yeah, you've mentioned their name quite often in the past. I know we only have about a minute to go, Andy, and this is only the 21st of September. What kind of deals can still be had at Linda's?
We have 75% off of installation labor on Infinity Windows by Marvin, Leaf Guard Gutters, and GAF Asphalt Roofing. And I'm telling you, if you haven't checked out some of the Class 4 shingle options that we have available and the solar shingles that we have available, I really would with some of the government money that you get nowadays, where 30% of what the solar system costs, and then you look at what the payback is and the guarantee that we offer, meaning we guarantee that this is going to create this much energy or we're going to pay you back every 5 years. over the first 25 years. It's a pretty cool warranty.
Yeah.
And like all things Linux Instruction, this is a well thought out plan, and we're going slow, but slow on purpose. And I really think that a couple years from now, most of our customers, if possible, will be getting some type of solar on the roof.
Excellent. Andy, be safe on your trip back home and enjoy your little bit of a vacation. And we'll talk to you 1 week from today.
Sounds great, Danny. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the advice. I'm going to go look up Steve now.
Very good. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Thanks for listening. Ryan, thank you.